This is DW News, and these are our top stories. The Lebanese government has placed a number of Beirut port officials under house arrest and declared a state of emergency in the capital. A massive explosion was traced to a port warehouse storing highly explosive chemicals and has killed at least 130 people and left thousands injured. Rescuers are digging through the rubble in desperate search for survivors. Nearly 300,000 people have been left homeless. Former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden has announced he won't be traveling to Milwaukee to accept the Democratic Party's presidential nomination over coronavirus fears. Instead, he will give a speech from his home state of Delaware. The nominating convention at the end of this month will now be almost entirely virtual. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi has launched the construction of a new Hindu temple at a disputed site that was a flashpoint for religious violence. While Modi's Hindu nationalist supporters celebrated the launch, critics say it is yet another move to marginalize the country's Muslims. This is DW News from Berlin. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DW News or visit our website, dw.com.
Beirut looks like a war zone. The explosions at the city's port killed more than 100 people and left 300,000 homeless. Most people had no idea that they were living and working next to thousands of tons of explosive chemicals. Most had no idea, but some reportedly did and did nothing about it. Tonight, port officials have been placed under house arrest as shock turns to anger one day after the Beirut blast. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
There are no words to describe the catastrophe that has hit Beirut and which has turned it into a disaster zone.
What we've seen is cataclysmic.
It is like a big earthquake hit Lebanon and Beirut. It will cost billions to repair.
I heard a first explosion, something that shook the house, and then a second huge explosion.
Suddenly, I lost my... I couldn't hear anymore. So I saw something flash and I couldn't hear anymore.
The magnitude, the impact of the explosion is beyond belief.
Also coming up tonight, the growing far-right threat here in Germany. Police are investigating a series of hate mails.
If someone writes to you in detail about how you should be strangled with a piano wire, it makes you feel different because you think, what's going on inside the head of the person who sent this?
Well, to our viewers on PBS in the United States and all around the world, welcome. We begin the day in the aftermath of the Beirut blast. More than 24 hours after two explosions leveled the city's port district, rescue teams are still searching for survivors in the rubble. More than 100 people were killed when a warehouse storing tons of ammonium nitrate exploded. The force of the blast was so strong that it was felt 150 miles away in Cyprus. 300,000 people were displaced, their homes rendered uninhabitable by the blast. Today, a state of emergency was declared, which gives authorities the power to place under house arrest anyone who was connected to the storage of the ammonium nitrate. Today, we learned that city officials knew about the explosives, allowing them to be stored at the port for 6 years.
A day of grief for Lebanon as the country reckons with the losses and destruction caused by Tuesday's explosion. With many people still missing, rescue workers are desperately searching for anyone still alive under the collapsed buildings. This man was rescued after over 16 hours under the rubble. A glimmer of hope amid the devastation. Shops and homes were destroyed across Beirut. Hundreds of thousands of people likely unable to return to their homes for months. As the Lebanese begin to deal with the aftermath, a strong sense of community is emerging. But a feeling of disbelief still lingers. We've never seen anything like this in our lives. It's difficult, and the scene is shocking and scary. I took everything in after all the destruction. I looked for my family and gathered them and went out to the balcony to take a look. It was a massacre. I saw a lot of horrific scenes. I saw dead people. I saw people running and screaming while carrying their children. People who had lost their children. Others looking for their mom or their sister. It was horrific. It was difficult. Planes carrying rescue teams and aid have begun to arrive from countries around the world. The Lebanese government announced a two-week state of emergency and ordered a number of port officials to be placed under house arrest. They include any officials involved with guarding and storing the explosive chemical, ammonium nitrate, that seems to have caused the blast. We are determined to investigate and reveal what happened as soon as possible to punish those responsible. Investigators have begun searching the wreckage at Beirut's port, a first step towards fulfilling the president's promise to deliver justice.
Well, joining me here at the big table now is my colleague Dima Tarhini from DW Arabic. Dima is from Lebanon. Dima, I'm glad you took the time to talk with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sad
that we have to meet under these circumstances, but what have you been hearing about the situation in Beirut as well as the investigation?
I will tell you about the situation because in less than half an hour ago, I was speaking with the Beirut governor, and he confirmed to me that the situation is really, really bad. The crisis is huge. We are talking about more than 300,000 Lebanese. They are homeless now. We are talking there's no electricity. The Lebanese, they lost their capital basically yesterday. In addition to that, he was talking about the damages that he estimated that the direct damages is between $5 billion to $10 billion. This is the direct. The indirect is going to be even more. Mm-hmm. The crisis is so huge. That's why the Lebanese government, they were asking the help from the international community. And actually, the international community, they are going to help Lebanon, because if this government or the whole state will collapse, the consequences will be really, really bad, not only for Lebanon, but for the whole region, too.
And we know that the government has promised an investigation. Some port officials are under house arrest. But you say you've also heard that there may be a French investigation into this?
Yes, I've been talking with many politicians in Lebanon, and they confirmed to me, some of them basically, they confirmed to me that one investigation is like in open and in clear. It's the Lebanese investigation, but there are three behind the scenes. One is a French, and that's why Emmanuel Macron, he will be in Lebanon tomorrow, not only the French president to support the Lebanese government and to give his support, but also because many French soldiers, they've been killed in this explosion in the port from the UNIFIL. There's also another investigation, as they told me, some politicians, it's a British investigation, and also the American Pompeo, he spoke about it basically with the head of the Lebanese government. So you have three international and one Lebanese. But also, let me tell you, Brent, it's very important that there were doubts from many Lebanese people about the Lebanese investigation before it will started. The government said within 5 days we are going to give a result, mm-hmm. and people, they will be punished for that. And the question is, who? Is it like small employee in the port, or is it going to be the one who gave him the order inside the port, or it's going to be the politician, or it's going to be someone in the government? Who's going to be punished at the end of the day?
Well, do the people in Lebanon and in Beirut, do they trust the government to carry out a thorough investigation?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. At least I don't want to generalize, but at least let me say 80%, they don't believe in that, and especially the people, they were asking for changes.
I want us to talk a little bit about what we've been seeing on social media today. There is a hashtag trending on Twitter that translates into English as hang up the nooses. Mm. We found a video attached to a tweet with that hashtag. I want us to take a look at it. The tweet reads, children and innocent people are affected by this terrible accident. Now take a look. It's children standing at the window, hit by the shockwave. And at first we thought, you know, that they had been knocked unconscious. We see one kid get up. Amazingly, the glass did not shatter, and the woman and the three children are able to stand up and walk out of the room, which in itself, you see right there, is a miracle. Nadima, you know your country, your home country.
Yeah.
Are you worried about vigilantes who would say, we don't trust the government, we're going to deliver justice our way and find out who was responsible?
It's not the case in Lebanon, okay. Brent. It's not the case because no matter how people, they are angry, no matter they are fed up, they lost everything now, not only economical-wise, they lost their beloved one, they lost everything, homes and everything, but still, you know, the way it works in Lebanon, it's not like that. It's like a tribe or like a family. There will always be some Lebanese, they are really following a certain politician or result of a certain family. Mm-hmm. Maybe there will be chaos a little bit. That's why the international community interfered now. Mm-hmm. And that's why the president, the French president, is going to be in Lebanon to support the government in order not to collapse. And there's an agreement between the politicians in Lebanon that no matter what will happen, we're not going to go to the civil war again. So they will contain the whole situation.
Before we run out of time, what have you been hearing from, you know, your friends and family there? We understand, you know, 80% of Lebanon's food is imported.
Yeah.
And the grain silo was destroyed by this blast. Are they afraid that people are going to face starvation?
They are already facing starvation because of the corruption and the economical situation. They are like under the line of poverty now. Before this happened, this blast, I mean, because of COVID-19 and because of the corruption and lack of a good governing in the whole country, they're already facing the situation. Add to all of this, the blast that happened, this port mm-hmm. was offering 70% of the trade. And also we are talking about this bread that is going to be in the market, even though the government said we have another solution. Temporarily, even for a month, but it's not going to happen.
It's tragic. It's tragic. My colleague, Dima Tarhini. Dima, we appreciate you coming in and sharing this with us, and we certainly are thinking and hoping the best for you, your family, and everyone in Beirut.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, the Lebanese government has ordered an investigation into the blast, as we just heard, and how 2,750 tons of the explosive chemical ammonium nitrate could be stored at this site. Now, we can see just how powerful the blast was by comparing before and after photos of the site. Take a look at this. Here we have a look at the harbor before the blast. We know the fire brigade was finding a blaze in the building that is circled in red. And now you see after the blast. Not only has the building been completely obliterated, so has the ground underneath it, leaving a water-filled crater and complete destruction around that area. Ammonium nitrate is used to make fertilizer and bombs. In 1995, it was used in the Oklahoma City bombing, which at the time was the deadliest act of domestic terrorism in U.S. history. What do we know tonight about the blast in Beirut? To talk about that, I'm joined by chemist and broadcaster Andrea Sella. Mr. Sella, it's good to have you on the program. You've seen the video of the explosions and what happened from them. We're going to show the videos again, and maybe if you could talk us through it and tell us what you see when you're looking at the explosions, what can be surmised from these blast clouds.
If I can just say one thing, I cannot actually see your screen.
Okay.
But I pretty well know what's going on in the video, so I will attempt to describe things. So the first thing is that there's a fire burning somewhere in the warehouse itself, and that fire is clearly the thing which triggered the really massive events that followed. There's then a huge orange fireball which is produced, and this is the initial, rather slow in kind of technical terms, explosion, where presumably the ammonium nitrate really began to burn and blow up. But moments later, there is a second type of explosion, what's called a detonation. Mm-hmm. And this is one which really happens kind of at supersonic speed. And this produces this extraordinary shockwave. And one can see that huge, almost spherical sort of bulb of mist which travels outwards from the center of the blast. And that's really a sign of this enormous shockwave. And that's the thing that will really have caused enormous amounts of damage.
Can you surmise, based on what we've been able to see, what would have triggered all of this? Would it have been just this fire? Because we understand there were firefighters on the scene. Would it have been fires